Standing, I want to greet again Bishop and Sister MacLeod and the family and the fellow ministers and all your lovely brethren. Greetings. You could have done better than that. That sounds better. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a sound, man. I like the sound where it is. Amen. Just to say, while you go with me to 2 Chronicles 7, I've got some CDs and some DVDs that I use to help to announce the ministry, to travel. So the CDs are only £4 and the DVDs are £6. So please try and support that. Amen? The Bible says that this gospel shall be preached in all the world. And again, just to say thanks to the Lee Church. When we went to South Africa, the church supported us. And we went into the children's home and we made them breakfast. We cooked their lunch. We paid some children's school fee. And we did a whole lot of stuff. I have brought a couple of the DVDs from the mission, so that Reverend MacLeod and Evangelist Miller will have access to it. So hopefully they'll be able to show you even 5 minutes. Amen? Amen. And please continue to pray for me. At the end of the month, I'll be in South Africa from the 28th to the 10th. Then I'll come back on the 11th, and on the 15th, I'm in Sierra Leone. And then I'll come back from there. Then I'll be in Trinidad, and from Trinidad to St. Vincent, to Barbados, and then I come back. So please pray for me. I need your prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to do an exposition of the text. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Hallelujah. When you find it, just say amen. Said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I will heal from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. I want to speak on the, keep standing. I want to speak on the subject today, the power of prayer. But I want you to touch your neighbor and say, pray until you find your way. Come on, tell somebody else, pray until you find your way. You may be seated in his presence. That's what I want to talk about. If I decided to lock you out of my house, there is no way I would have told you where I've hidden the key. It wouldn't make sense. But God is the only one who will lock you out and tell you where the key is. Let me prove it. The Bible says that the Lord appeared to Solomon. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 12 said, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heaven and there is no rain, I command the locusts to devour the land. Hallelujah to Jesus. I send pestilence among my people. Then he gives you the key. He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal the land. So before he locked the door, he gives you the combination to get in. Because he's saying that when you stray from me, I'll have to shut the heaven. But in me shutting the heaven, I've got to give you the keys. So I tell you where the keys are, even before I close the heaven. So therefore, you always have access to heaven. So prayer is man giving God the legal right and permission to interfere in earth's affair. Prayer is man giving heaven earthly license to interfere in earth. Because God will not just interfere, because he gave us dominion, as we spoke of this morning. So in other words, you've got to give God license to interfere into your situation. Hallelujah. And once you give him the license, then he will interfere. So prayer is, hallelujah to Jesus, a terrestrial license for a celestial interference. So man is earthly, so we live in the terrestrial. Is that an amen? But then we have the celestial, which is in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. We can't just wander into the heavenlies as we please. But if we give the heavenly the permission, the heavenly can wander into the earthly. So prayer is not just talking to God, because I can talk to you, but don't give you the permission. So prayer is more than talking to God. It's simply giving God the permission to interfere into my situation. Because you see, sometimes people interfere in your business, but you didn't want them to interfere. And therefore it starts an argument. So if God just interfered into my business, and I didn't give him the permission, as a matter of fact, Jeremiah said, Lord, you have tricked me. You have deceived me. Because I know that the people were not going to listen, but you still called me and sent me to the people, even though you know they were not going to listen. I didn't want to go, but you still send me. Because as somebody said, it's God's divine order. So why is man exercising his legal authority on earth to invoke heaven influence on the planet? Dr. Miles Monroe, understanding the power and purpose of prayer. Prayer in the Bible, prayer is worship that includes all the attributes of the human spirit in its approach to God. The Christian worship God when he or she adores, confess, prays, and supplicate God in prayer. So we go to God in prayer, and we go as we worship God. You see, the problem with the church is that oftentimes we take God as Santa Claus. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. But every now and then we are to surprise God. Just go before him and tell him how much you love him. Lord, you're the rose of Sharon. You're the lilies of the valley. You're the bright and morning star. You're the fearless of 10,000. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the one that was and is and is to come. Just worship him and then leave it. My daughter came to me the other day and she just hugged me and said, Daddy, I love you. And then I'm looking for her to ask for something. But the child just walked away. And now I'm totally astonished. Because normally kids do something like that, something is going to follow. So I was totally shocked. So I believe that it's time for the church to shock God. Just tell him that you love him and don't ask him for anything. You see, here is the problem. Am I okay to work the text? Is all right? We want the hand of God, but not the face of God. His hand is different from his face. Let's say my daughter comes to me and says, Daddy, I'd like you to take me shopping. So I want to go to Mansoum, or I want to go to Debenhams, I want to go somewhere. And I said, okay, darling, I can't go, but I'll give you my credit card so you can go. And she's quick to say yes. She wants my hand, but not my face. Because all she wants is my credit card. If she wanted my face, she would have insisted that I take her. Because if I took her, then my presence is with her. Hallelujah. So the question is, do you want his hand? How do you want his face? That's another message that I've got. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. It's time for the church to come together. That message is entitled, If I Found Favor in His Sight. How many of you know that when you find favor in the sight of God, nothing is impossible? The impossible becomes possible when you find favor in his sight. That's another message for another day. Hallelujah. It's time for the church to come together. There is a Greek word which means to come together, to come together. You can come together but not be together. So because we all come in the same building, we come together, it doesn't mean that we are together. But when you come together, you come together to be together. That's what the Bible says. That's what God wants, for us to come together so we can be together. The disciples came together to be together, because the Bible says they were in one accord. So it's not Honda who made the accord. The disciples were driving a accord before Honda actually made it. Amen. Ah, come on. The church is a body, not a business. It is an organism, not an organization. Hallelujah. If a church is not growing, it's dying. All living things grow, and you don't have to make them grow. It is natural for the living organism to do that if it is healthy. Hallelujah. You don't have to try to make the church grow. The church is not an organization, it's an organism, which means it's something that have life. If your child is healthy, the child will grow. If the plants are healthy, the plants will grow. So if the church is healthy, come and talk to me some more. The church will grow. You don't have to do anything for it to grow. You just got to make sure that it is healthy. Because all living things, if they are healthy, will grow. I'm a perfect example. You see how much I have grown. Hallelujah to Jesus. God says, if my people, which are called by my name. Now this is talking about the ecclesia, the church, the called out one. So if my people were called by my name, God has called us from darkness into light so we can shine. If God takes you out of, he brings you into. If he takes you from, he'll take you to. So everything that he brought you from, he brought you to something better. So if he takes you from poverty, he brings you to prosperity. If he takes you from darkness, he brings you into light. If he takes you from sickness, he brings you into health. Everything that he takes you from, he brings you to something better. Somebody say amen. That's why Isaiah 16 verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The word glory there actually means weight. And in the Caribbean, sometimes when a man had money, we used to say, boy, that man is heavy. Am I the only one who knows the term? That man is heavy. And that's what the word actually means. It means heavy. Hallelujah to Jesus. So when the glory of God is upon you, it means you now become heavy. Because the weight of God is upon you. Hallelujah. Because God is now sealing you with his approval. So he's saying you are to arise, you are to shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. Now, when Jesus died, hallelujah, and he rose from the dead, it is said that the clothes were folded and put aside. What was he wearing then? You see, he came with glory. Now he's going back. He ought to pick up his glory. Hallelujah to Jesus. I want you to understand that when the glory of God is upon you, you can leave here and go to China and don't know anybody, and somebody will take care of you because they will see something different in your life. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Isaiah 43 and verse 1, it says, but now, thus said the Lord, whom creates you, O Jacob, and he who have formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. I want you to see what God is saying. He said, I have called you by name, and you are mine. You belong to me. You are my prized possession. You are my pride, and you are my joy. The reason we are called by his name is because we are sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Watch this. Your daughter, Sarah Jane, is called Sarah Jane McLeod. Why? Because it's your daughter. Adrian is called Adrian McLeod. Why? Because he's your son. Hallelujah. So God says, you are called by my name. So you are mine. I am your father. It's ownership. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see, if somebody is called by your name and it's not yours, in the Caribbean we say it's jacket. You all understand. But I'm not a jacket because God says you are mine. I've called you by your name. So he says in Isaiah 43, 4, he says, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Hallelujah. God says, I have honored you. Why? Because I have called you. We serve a God whom we can call on. I need you to know that your telephone line to glory, hallelujah to Jesus, is Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. We say, call unto me and I will answer you, said the Lord, and show you great and marvelous things. God says, if you call, I will answer. Hallelujah. So if he don't answer, could it be that you're not calling? That's why you've got to pray until you find your way. Because God said, as long as you call, I will answer. And when I don't feel like he's answering, I'm still going to call. Because I don't operate by how I feel. I operate by what he says. He says I should call. And when you're telling me to shut up, I'm going to say like Bartimaeus, Jesus, the more you tell me to shut up, you can see, but I am blind. And this might be my last time to see Jesus. So if you're a little bit too sophisticated, you don't want your rouge and your mascara and your foundation to run and your blusher and everything, because you know what you where you are. But I know where God has brought me from. He has brought me from a mighty long way. So you are sophisticated, and some of you don't know how to cry to God, because you've got your house, you've got your car, you've got somebody to blow in your ears in the nighttime. But there are some of us who don't have a house, who don't have a car, who don't have anybody to blow in our ears. So we're going to look unto the hills. From whence cometh our help? For our help cometh from the Lord. We're going to pray until we find our way. Somebody worship Jesus. I'm not going to stop praying. I said, I'm not going to stop praying. When they tell you to shut up, you're just going to keep on praying. But the Bible says that there was Hannah, and Elkanah had two wives. And one was hallelujah, Hannah, and the other was Penina. But because Penina, she had children, she kept on bothering Elkanah. And women like to show off. Ouch. Ouch. When a man get engaged, he comes to church ordinarily. When a woman gets engaged and she start to worship, she throw the hen in the ear so you can see the diamond. Can I preach like how I feel it? The way if she used to worship like this, now she worships like this. So help my Jesus. You know I'm telling the truth. So now Penina, she's pregnant, and every time she walked past, she's just pushing out the stomach as if to say, Hannah, you are barren, but watch this. And she keep on bothering him, but the Bible says that Hannah keep on praying, that she kept on praying. And even the man of God said, woman, when will you stop drinking? She said, my Lord, I'm not drunk, I'm a woman in travail, and I'm gonna pray until I find my way. I'm going to keep on praying. She said, Lord, if you will give me a child, then I will present the child back to you. And the Bible says that God heard her prayers and God gave her a son. Somebody worship Jesus. So now she comes back. Now she rejoice. Now she pray and she give God thanks. Thank you, Lord. You have quieted my enemies. Thank you, Lord. You have silenced my enemies. Thank you, Lord. You have brought me through. I've been through the fire, but you were with me. I've been through the floods, but you were with me. I've been through storms, but you were with me. I wish somebody would praise God. If God brought you through 2009 and brought you into 2010, you ought to throw your hands in the air and say, I'm still alive. I'm still alive. I'm still alive. I'm still alive. Somebody worship him. Somebody worship him. Somebody bless Jesus. So we're going to pray until we find our way. Pray when you feel like praying. Pray when you don't feel like praying. You've got to be like the woman. I can never understand how a woman who is having a baby, she would push and push, and she'll cry and make noise, and as soon as the baby comes, she stops crying. The moment the baby comes, she stops crying, because all the pain is gone, and the joy of the Lord now becomes her strength. So you gotta learn how to push. Now, I thought that Jamaicans could push, but I realized that Jamaicans can't push. You are to go to Israel in the crowded places when they start to push. I was taking an old lady, and everybody kept pushing us back, and all of a sudden I had to say, I'm from Jamaica. If you can push, I can push better than you. So I had to push some nuns. I had to repent at the end. But I had to push some people. That's where I understand the scripture with the woman with the issue of blood, where she said, if only I can touch his garment, then I'll be made whole. She had to push. Somebody need to push. When the baby, hallelujah, just when the woman start to dilate, and it becomes a certain amount of centimeters, the nurse will say, just one more push, just one more push. Touch your neighbor and say, one more push. Somebody need to push. Don't stop pushing. Pray until you find your way. So God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, man must humble himself before God. 1 Peter 5:6, humble therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due season. When you humble yourself, God said, I myself will lift you up in due season. Seasons are not governed by the calendar or by the dates, but seasons are governed by God. And God will make it your season, even when it's not your season. He said, I send you the former rain, and I send you the latter rain, and I send you rain out of season. So God says, your season is when you believe. As a matter of fact, your season didn't start when you believe. Your season started back in the canopies of heaven, where God says, I chose you, hallelujah, before the foundation of the earth. He said, I chose you, and I've called you, and I've ordained you. But man must know that he cannot exist without God. So he must humble himself before God, and God will lift him up. David said in Psalm 3 and verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. So he said, God, it is you who are going to lift me up. You are my shield. You are my rock. You are my hiding place, and you are the lifter of my head. Now let me ask you a question. Is it better to be considered and rejected, and not to be considered at all? Is it better to be considered and to be rejected, and not to be considered at all? I'd rather that you consider me, because at least I have a chance. Because you put some consideration and thought, hallelujah. So you thought of me. But when Samuel went to Jesse's house and said, Jesse, the Lord has sent me here to anoint one of your sons as king. Jesse brought his 7 sons. And the first one, Samuel said, surely the Lord is with him. And the Lord says, no, I'm not with him. The Lord wasn't with the second, now the fifth, now the sixth, now the seventh. Now Samuel is questioning God. Because God, you have told me to anoint one of Jesse's sons. But all his sons are here. And the oil have not flowed. So where did I go wrong? So he said, Jesse, are these all the sons that you have? Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, yes. I've got another one. He's in the field. Tell your neighbor, it's not who you think it is. It's whom God said it is. It's not who you think it is. It's whom God says it is. So he said, we will not sit down until he come. The Bible said the boy was ready. When he walked in, the Lord said, rise and anoint him, for he is the one. It's not who you think. It's whom God said it is. They didn't consider David, but God said, my anointing is with David. So some people may not even consider you, but if God consider you, that's all you need to know. Somebody worship Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. James 4:10 says, humble yourself therefore before the Lord and he will lift you up. When one is humble, he will submit. I said, when one is humble, he will submit. The Bible said, James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he shall flee. God said, if you will submit, you've got the power to resist the devil. We can say, devil, you can take your flight in the name of Jesus. And the devil got to walk out of town. Ain't no demon lives in my house. They don't help me pay the rent. They don't help me pay the mortgage. If you live in my house and you don't contribute to the bills, you are an illegal alien, and therefore I've got the power to drive you out of town. Demons don't help me, devils don't help me, but Jesus helped me. So Jesus got the right to live in my house, and where Jesus live, ain't no demon can live. Can I preach like I feel it? If Jesus is in the house, the devil gotta go. If Jesus is in the house, demons gotta go. Somebody worship Jesus. Somebody bless Jesus. Pray until you find your way. Hallelujah. When you humble yourself to God, you will submit to God. And when you submit to God, you can draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. If you draw nigh to him, church, he'll draw nigh to you. Touch your neighbor. I said, it's time to pray. I said, it's time to pray. If my people were called by my name, would humble themselves and then pray. Prayer in the Bible is worship that includes all the attributes of the human spirit in approach to God. The Christian worship God when he or she adores God. You've got to just go before God and just love him up. Every now and then you've got to love him up. You know, like when you want your husband to buy something expensive, you just love him up. You just blow in his ears. Women can always get from men whatever they want. As a matter of fact, most of us think that we run things when it's the woman that runs things. I've got one honest brother in the church with me. One honest man in the church with me. Two men were talking. And the man was saying, well, I am the head in my house. And the wife overheard and said, I am the neck that turns the head. We think we are the head, but they are the neck. Without the neck, you all women know that you run things, don't you? Man, if you can't say amen, say ouch. We know they run things. The sooner we accept it, the better it is. Ouch. let's move on. Seven quickly common prayer killers. Number one, unconfessed sins. Hello, the Bible says that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. So we are not to regard iniquity in our hearts. Number two, prayer killer number two, the lack of faith. James 1, 6 to 8 says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubt is like the wave of the sea, bowed and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and stable in all his way. So if you pray and you don't have faith, don't think that God is going to do anything. Hallelujah to Jesus. Number three, disobedient. 1 John 3:21 says, dear friends, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him everything that we ask, because we obey his commandment and do what pleases him. That the next one is unforgiveness. Hallelujah to Jesus. Unforgiveness hurts you. As a matter of fact, there are people that we have not forgiven, and they don't even realize that we have not forgiven them. They have moved on with their lives, and you are still there crying. And that's where men are different from women. A man will break up a relationship today and find somebody else tomorrow. Ouch. Same day. I was trying to give him 24 hours. Same day, find somebody else. 2 years later, the woman is still crying over the same man. The man married and move on. And sometimes, 5 years later, we're still crying. Women, if you can't say amen now, you say ouch. So we are. Somebody say, I'm free. Praise the Lord. I am free. No longer bound. I'm just going to give you five. Hallelujah. Prayer killer number five. Just giving you five for the sake of time. Wrong motives. Hallelujah. How many of you know that a lot of times we do things with a wrong motive? A preacher was walking one day and saw a little boy jumping up to reach the doorbell. So he went over and rang the doorbell for the little boy. Then he said, what next? The little boy said, now you run like hell. The motive of the little boy was wrong. The preacher didn't realize it. So the two of them had to run like hell because the man was about to release his dog because they keep on going and pestering him. Wrong motive. The Bible says when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motive. Hallelujah. That you may spend what you get on your own pleasure. Hallelujah. Prayer is not just an activity, a ritual, or an obligation. It is communion, hallelujah to Jesus, and communication that God, that touches the heart of God. It's not just a ritual where we pray. Hallelujah. Most of us, especially from the Caribbean, we were told to pray. And sometimes we pray, we don't even know why we pray. As a matter of fact, a lot of times we pray and we don't even believe what we pray for. The other day, I was printing some stuff. And I was leaving the next day. And I had to get all this stuff printed for this guy. And the cartridge was empty. Hallelujah. And it's this special printer that I have to order it from the people. And I'm leaving the next day. And I pray and ask God to fill the cartridge. I turn off the printer and turn it back on. And he said the cartridge was full. Now I'm checking the cartridge to see what's wrong with it. Come on, don't look at me as if I'm the only one. You're just as guilty as I am. You pray for things and God answer, and then you turn around and look to see if what you just pray for is real. I ask God to fill the cartridge, turn off the printer, put the cartridge back in, and he says full. Now I'm shaking the thing. What has gone wrong? Saying that the machine is malfunctioning. But the thing kept on printing. I said the thing kept on printing. And the thing kept on printing. Till I couldn't help myself. But they said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But we do ask for things, you know. And when God send it, we don't believe it. And that's why when you pray, you need to know what you pray for. Don't just ask God to send you a man. Because when a one-foot man come, you say, no, sir. And I don't feel me man that. I don't feel me man that. Be specific, man. Don't just say, Lord, send me a man. One eye man come. You say, no, sir. I don't feel me man that. But you just pray for a man. And God send you a man. You never tell God what kind of man. Lord Jesus, help us, God. Help us. Hallelujah, Jesus. John Wesley said, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desires nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be clergy or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven and earth. End of quote. Hallelujah. All we need is a few people to pray. I said all we need is a few people to pray. You don't have to have a degree. You just need to be able to spend time with God and to call on God and believe God. Hallelujah. James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Hallelujah. And the Lord will raise up him. And if he has committed sin, they should confess. Hallelujah. They shall be forgiven. Whatever sins you have committed, God says, if you have committed a sin, I will forgive you. He said, confess your faults one to another. Now, be careful. Because some folks in church are like telegram. In the old days, before we had phone, we used to have telegram. Now we have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have all different kind of, as a matter of fact, people don't have to get home to check Facebook. Right on the phone, they're checking Facebook. So be careful who you confess your fault to. Because some people only want to hear. You must have heard the story about the three guys who went out and decided that they were going to bond together. One of them said, I had problem with adultery. The next one said, I have problem with smoking. The next one said, I had problems about four. The next one said, I have problem with drinking. The next one said, well, my problem is gossip. And I can't wait to tell everybody what you all just told me. So before you confess to them, check what problem they have and make sure it's not gossip. Hallelujah. It's time to seek the Lord. So the Bible said, if my people who are called by my name, come with me, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Hallelujah. To seek the Lord. To seek means to go in search of. Hallelujah. There was a time, you know, when men used to go in search of women. Because we are natural born hunters. Come on, talk to me. So we used to do the hunting. But now it seems as if the role have reversed. And it's the women who are doing the chasing. Come on, you want to tell the truth? And it does not matter whether you're married or you don't marry. Oh, church getting quiet. Praise God, man. Hit home. They are the ones doing the chasing. But to seek means to go in search of. So Psalm 27:4 says, one thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the times of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. Or somebody give God some praise. That's what I desire, that I will go after him. And the word says, when thou sayest, seek my face, my heart says unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Somebody need to seek him. That's why Songs of Solomon says, all night long on my bed, I look for the one that I love. I'll go up and down the city and the square until I find my beloved. My beloved is mine. You all know the actors. If you don't know Songs of Solomon, when I was growing up, I knew Songs of Solomon by heart. I could tell. We don't want to go there. Let she kiss me with the kisses of her lips. For her lips are sweet as wine. Your neck are like the trees of Lebanon. You don't want me to go there. There were some good vibes in it, man. For when I was growing up, man. So I could tell. Jesus. Y'all. Taking it out of context, making it sound sweet in somebody else's ears. All right. Somebody said lyrics. Lord help us. Hide not thy face from me. Hallelujah. Put not thy servants away in anger. Hallelujah. Thou hast been my help. Hallelujah. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. When you said seek him, I said when you seek him with all your heart, you shall find him. Come on, church, we're going to have a few more minutes of church. Is that okay? Then I'll wrap this thing up. Isaiah 55:6 said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thought, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon them, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Somebody ought to understand today that God will pardon you. Doesn't matter what you have done. God doesn't hold anything against you. Hallelujah. Some of us are like elephants. It is said that elephants have a long memory. And you know, sometimes we said, well, I forgive you, but I don't forget. You haven't forgiven. The Bible said that when God forgives, he places it in the sea of forgetfulness to remember it no more. I'm not saying that the devil won't bring it back to you every now and then. That's different. But when God forgives you, you know the problem. Here's the problem with the church. God has forgiven us, but we keep on going back to God about the same prayer. And God is saying, what in the world are you talking about? Well, Lord, 5 years ago, I made a mistake. And you keep going back to God. And God said, don't you know, it's under the blood. It's under the blood. It's covered by the blood. How many of you know there is power in the blood? Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm going to wrap this thing up in a minute. So if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, hallelujah, and seek my face and turn. So when you seek him, you've got to turn. When God created man, man was at the top. Hallelujah to Jesus. But sin has separated man from God. So therefore, that man must repent. The word repent, hallelujah, repent, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, the word it means, re means to return. And pent means stop. That's why when you go to any hotel, you always have the penthouse, which is at the top. You have the Pentagon, which is the head of the American, hallelujah, CIA and all those people. Because pent means stop. So God says when you repent, you must return to the top. Because when I created you on top. But your sins have brought you away from me. So man now needs to repent to get back to the penthouse. God said, I've created a penthouse for you, but you're living in the basement, and I don't want you to live in the basement. I want you to live in the penthouse. You don't have to live in the basement. You can live in the penthouse if you will return to God. Somebody bless Jesus. Somebody worship Jesus. Man must return. Joel 2:12 says, now therefore said the Lord, turn to me with all your hearts, with fasting, with weeping and mourning. So rend your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, hallelujah, and great with great for kindness, and he will relent from doing harm. You know, when we were growing up, we used to say, well, the Bible says, render your heart and not your garment. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I can't go anyhow because it says, render your heart. Rent. Tear in two. Tear it apart. It's not your garment that needs to be torn in two. It's your heart that needs to be torn in two. Then God says, if you, my people who are called by my name, hallelujah to Jesus, sir. What does it say? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. The Lord appeared to Solomon and spoke these words that he needed to hear. He assured the king that he had heard his prayer and that he would answer him. Even though the temple was seen as a place of God's presence, he still made it clear that he was near and that he heard their prayers from heaven. And God says, I will forgive your sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful. How many of you know that's not to the unbelievers? We often use it to the unbelievers. But this text is not speaking about the unbelievers. The unbelievers are not brethren. The church, we are the brethren. So if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just and he will forgive us. And the Bible said, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. His name, eyes and heart will be in the temple. Watch this as I close right now. Name represents an extension of self. Eyes were understood as representing the gathering of information and therefore knowing. In English, heart is usually symbolized for the seat of emotion. In contrast, the logics and reasoning. But the Hebrew is used, hallelujah, as a center of both emotion and reasoning, intelligence. And then God says, I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name will be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart will always be there. So don't stop praying. Pray until you find your way. Bow your heads with me. Is there one person in this house, before I turn this mic over, you're not a Christian, and you'd like me to pray for you, just raise your hand. Whether you're at the top or the bottom, is there one person? Just lift that hand so I can see. God bless you. I've seen that hand. Is there somebody else? Hallelujah to Jesus. God bless you. I've seen that other hand. Is there somebody else? Hallelujah to Jesus. You're in here. Those of you, you just want to accept the Lord today. Just stand, just right where you are. You're here and you raise your hand. Just stand, just right where you are. Just so we can pray for you. For the sake of time, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but just right where you are, just stand. Hallelujah to Jesus. As a matter of fact, we're going to take a few minutes. If you're here and you really want to accept the Lord, I'm going to ask you just to walk your way right here to the front. You may have wandered away from God, but God says it's time to come home. If you're serious, whether you're at the top, we'll wait for you. Just walk right here. The altar is a place of sacrifice. You raise your hand, come. Make it quickly while the worship team just lead us into a worship song. Hallelujah to Jesus. Is there somebody else? Come. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's why we're here this morning. We're here for you. Oh, we bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Can we just have a lady just come and just pray? Is there somebody else? Can I just ask the church just to stand? Is there somebody? You may have wandered away from God, but it's time to come home. It's God's grace and mercy that brought you through. Just walk your way right here. And if you're here this morning and you need to be prayed for, the pastoral prayer, just walk your way to this altar quickly. You need God to do something for you for 2010. Hallelujah. We're going to pray the pastoral prayer at the same time. Just make your way to this altar. Your grace and mercy. Oh. Somebody has seen and worship Him. One more time and worship Him, church. Come on, everybody. Going to sing it one more time, but I want you just to think for a moment. You don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be here. But God, grace and mercy have brought us through. None of us in this house can seriously say, I deserve to be here. It's because of the grace and the mercy of God. We made mistakes in 2009. We made mistakes in 2008. As a matter of fact, we made mistakes in 2010. But God is still merciful. And I want you to, one or two more times before I pray, to sing it from the depths of your heart. That God, I'm only here because of your grace and mercy. And then we'll pray.
Your grace and mercy.
Lift those hands where possible. From the depths of your heart.
Your grace and mercy.
Your
grace and mercy.
Oh, somebody worship him. Somebody worship him. Somebody worship him. Just reach out to God. Right at the altar right now. Just reach out to God. Let the fire of God burn through your life. Oh, Holy Ghost.
Your grace and mercy. Your grace and mercy. Brought me through.
Before we pray, there's a few more names, a few more people that we also need to pray for. We just want to incorporate them. But I just want you to know, as we just take the music right down, some of you right now have been wondering, why is it that things in your life have just been going up and just been going down? And it never seemed to go smooth. But I want you to know that if you ever go to the hospital and you are hooked up to the machine and the line gets flat, you're dead. So God said to tell you this morning, the reason why things have been going up and down and up and down and up and down is because you're still alive. That's why it's just been going up and down and up and down. So don't be discouraged because life have been going up and down. It just means that you are still alive. Even if you are depressed, it's all right. Because dead people don't get depressed. Have anybody ever seen a depressed dead person? When you're dead, you're dead. So even if you feel depressed, you're still alive.
Hallelujah.